Welcome to Changelog, the weekly podcast where we discuss what's new in the tech world and what that means for real people. I'm Brian.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Craig.
And let's get into it. Before we talk about our technology things, I think we'll start with our alcohol selection today. So, Craig, what are you drinking?
Got a little fat over the holidays, so I've got to kind of go back to the Heineken Light. My IPAs were kind of destroying me for a little while there.
Wow.
It's kind of sad. I don't know how I feel about that.
You know what? At least it's a Heineken. It's still got some taste to it. So, you know. But I kind of got to scale back a little bit, you know, at least for a week until I break my resolution a little bit more. So.
Sure, sure. Jim, what are you working on?
Of course, I'm having scotch.
Yeah, but what kind?
What's the flavor? You know, it's my usual Johnny Walker.
The black or the red?
Oh, black.
The black.
I'm feeling proud of myself. So I'm drinking black.
That's great. I'm drinking today from Revolution Brewing Company, a Eugene Porter.
Ooh.
How is that? And I saw that and I've never tried it.
All right, it's great. Look at this old guy. He's nice, crazy. Dark. He's like holding a keg. You don't even know. Look how dark this beer is.
You realize that's what you're going to look like after you've drank a few of them. That's like your future. That's what you're going to look like, Brian.
This stuff looks like oil. It's so thick.
See, and I thought you had Guinness going.
Yeah, no, it's not bitter. And very smooth, like much smoother than a Guinness to me. So I'm for it. Jenny took one swig of it because we were out of other beer in the house. Mm-hmm. And she almost threw up. She was like, like, I don't know what your problem is. This is delicious.
Well, she's not a man.
True. Well,
neither is Brian when he says delicious that way either. That's not how a man describes a beer. So,
hey.
Delish.
It's pretty fantastic.
I didn't say delish. I said delicious.
Well, it was a little way too happy being said there.
Whatever. I like this beer. Mm-hmm. Don't get in my business about it. Uh-huh. Crazy. All right. So moving into our technology talk, I was reading an article today on The Verge where they got hands-on with Google's Project Aura or Aura. I don't know. Aura?
A-R-A? It's
Aura. 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 I don't know, but it's the modular phone.
You're supposed to say like a pirate, by the way.
Right? Ara!
Ara!
It's not Project Ara. That works. I like it. Where you can slide different modules in to customize your phone. And apparently they were originally talking about setting it up so that people could 3D print their modules or the cases for their modules. But now they're going with like an injection mold type of a thing instead. But this design is similar to the one that we've seen before, but it's a little bit more streamlined. It looks like they made it so that the modules actually snap right into the base of the phone instead of there being something else on the phone that they slide into.
Sure.
See, I like the original Phone Blocks version where it was just the pinout. Where you just had the pins and you could actually rearrange them in any order that you wanted.
Well, I didn't see that one. All the ones that I saw had specific size sections and you could rearrange them, but they weren't all the same size.
No, I'll have to dig you up a picture, but the original Phone Blocks was pretty cool, but you know, allowed you to move a lot more stuff around and kind of maximize your space. But this was
right on.
Today was the first time I ever saw something where you had like designated areas where you pop out a chip and only that specific size chip could go back.
Yeah, another thing that's kind of interesting is they have some kind of an onboard battery so that if you're swapping, you can hot swap your batteries. They said right now you only get to have about 30 seconds to do it. So if your battery's dying, you can hot swap a battery without rebooting your device as long as you can get it done within 30 seconds. They said they're hoping to get it up to 1 or 2 minutes, in the end product. But, I don't know. It's interesting. It's not the nicest looking device in my opinion. Craig just sent me over a picture, I think, of the original Phone Blocks. Oh yeah. But see, those are still different sizes, or is that just the way they had it arranged?
No, it's the way they had it arranged, because back then they could say, like, well, if you wanted just a basic phone camera, you could put the small one on there, so that way you can have more battery life. Or, you know, run a smaller processor if you only ever plan to use it for a phone, or, you know, go with a bigger screen. So, you know, their entire first concept was full customized, where, you know, now it seems like, you know, it just kind of seems like one of those rinky-dink cars you get from the store, you know, Toys R Us, and you can only change out the pieces.
The wheels.
Exactly. You can only swap it with pieces that they built for that specific car, and once they stop making them, well, then you're out of luck.
Right. And it looks like they combined some of the modules. So, like, on the front, if you slide in the earpiece that has the volume knobs attached to it, there's some different things like that. All in all, I mean, it's kind of a cool idea, but I don't know that your average user would ever use this. I mean, you can even swap out the screen, which is kind of cool if you wanted to put different resolution screens on there, maybe.
See, even just modular screens on any phone in general, because that's the number one thing that breaks.
Right.
But anyway, sorry I cut you off, Jim.
No, it's fine. You know, it's very interesting. And I see this as an emerging markets phone. So low cost, super low cost, get it out the door. And then, you know, as time goes by and different radios become available, different wireless networks in your area, you need more capacity. I see this as, quite frankly, for emerging markets. You know, it's for the Nokia markets of the world. Let's face it, Craig. I mean, yeah, the screen breaks. That's the big, you know, pain point for people. But if you think about it, when my screen breaks, it provides me with an interesting opportunity. and I'm not saying that, you know, I like it, but on some level I do. Because I sure. like to get a new phone every 12 months to 18 months.
And if all he has to do is throw his phone on the ground to get a new one, you know.
But do you know how many people I see that walk around with screens so shattered, how they haven't gotten glass splinters yet? I don't know. Yeah,
like, well, Kevin.
Okay, that does not seem like my problem, though.
No, but most of the majority out there, you know, I'll watch my dad or anybody walk around with a damaged phone because they don't want to go through the hassle. Or, you know, it cracks me up that's the one thing that should be able to be interchanged very quickly.
Yeah. But, okay, yeah. So an iPhone 5, okay?
Sure.
For like $100, you can swap out the screen and the digitizer for $100. It takes all of maybe 15 minutes.
On the 5, though, when you look at the 4 and the 4, well, even the 4S, mm-hmm. the 4S, you have to completely remove the entire motherboard and everything before you can access 6 or 8 screws around the outside bezel to then drop the screen out the front.
So the reason I very specifically mentioned the 5 was because I live in 2010, or I'm sorry, 2015.
I hope it's not 2010.
And the iPhone 4S and prior, they don't run iOS 8 well. In fact, you probably should have iOS 6, 6.1.2, something like that, to have it run well. And that's very old. I mean, it doesn't even do LTE.
But what I was getting at is Apple, I had never changed an iPhone 5 screen.
Okay.
The 3G, 3GS, great and easy. 4, a little bit harder. 4S, the hardest iPhone screen to replace because, of course, you get it all back together and you have that one extra screw, which usually means you did it right. And then it just seems like they would get harder and harder to the point where they don't want you to replace these. They want you to go the route you're talking. They want you to go get a new phone. Apple wants you to turn around and sell it. Their markets, you know, somebody buys it for parts, you know, does whatever they want. And then you go buy a new phone and their numbers keep climbing.
I mean, that's how all the phones right now are, really.
Yeah, exactly. And they're all getting that way. They're getting harder. The tablets, everything too. Everything's being bonded together with that really crazy Gorilla Glue that they use now. So you can't even try to salvage it nowadays. But that's why I just threw it out that I was curious that it's just that one thing. Everything's getting harder. So if you have that one phone you could swap a screen on, you know, iPhone goes to the Retina 2 display, it'd be great to just pop it off and pop the new one on, pending the processor would handle it.
Sure. So what I was thinking about with this phone, it kind of just like wet my imagination earlier today, is imagine if they started coming out with really cool modules. Like, let's say you want to shoot some really awesome video. So they release a camera module that actually has like interchangeable lenses where you can do different things. Yep. Or maybe even one of these big panels, you slide out and put like a nice big sensor on instead of the tiny little sensors that we get in phones today.
Sure.
I mean, I was just thinking, you know, possibilities like that are pretty cool. So I was wondering, throwing you guys on the spot, what is something that you would think would be really awesome to see as a module for a phone like this? Because, you know, Google's obviously listening and they're going to want to hear what we have to say about it.
Hi, Google.
Welcome.
Put you on the spot. You got to have something.
Okay, so a lot of phones, speaker placement.
Sure.
The loudspeaker, you know, I've had, let's see, an HTC One, which had a speaker right in the middle of the back. Horrible for watching video. When you look at, like, the HTC One, the M8 version, it's got the dual front-mounted speakers. Very nice. If we had the ability to kind of customize pieces and maybe for... if I'm watching, you know, I buy the shell and I want front-mounted speakers, you buy those. You put them in.
I like that. That would be probably pretty sweet to be able to just swap in some nice, like, high-def speakers on
Let's
there.
See, that's another great idea. Do you want either a big, giant 5.5-inch screen, or would you deal with a 5-inch screen so then you could fit two speakers on the front? You know, just to have that modular design to choose how you want to use your phone. Because, say, you plan on watching movies, and say you're going to go on a trip and you don't want the speakers, you want the screen size and a camera, like Brian said, on the back. You know, for me, the biggest thing is the camera, because you can say the processor all day, but everybody knows how well you have to have those processors balanced anyways. You can't just go throw an A8 chip in an old iPhone 3G. You know, it's not going to work. Sure. You know, so everybody will say processor, but, you know, that says processor, I just think's kind of a little off the rocker a little bit, but... Seriously, everybody thinks that's the easy thing. And you know what? Nobody out there is even going to do their due diligence and research on what processor should I buy for my phone.
You know, well, you mentioned an interesting thing. It's the camera. And Brian, specifically with the interchangeable camera. I read an interesting article in The Verge, and they were talking about how do you dethrone the iPhone? And it's as simple as it gets. You make a better camera. True, the iPhone camera, and a lot have tried. I mean, you look at the Note, you look at the S5, you look at HTC with their ultra pixels. Everybody's tried, but there's a magic sauce that's kind of mixing together the hardware and the software on the iPhone to make just this magical lens that or camera that does a great job.
And, I mean, we've talked about that before. Craig and I debated that for years. And I think what it really boils down to is the fact
that... That's what it boils down to. Brian's always wrong.
is that iPhones are only really developing for one set of hardware.
Yep.
So they can put all of their resources into making their camera software awesome. Yep. Whereas with Android... You have stock Android that's going on how many oodles of devices with different kinds of cameras. And to make that software work appropriately with all of them, you're not going to optimize it for every camera. And it seems to be almost like an afterthought for most of the developers. I mean, when you go into when you get your new phone for an Android phone and you open it up and it's the stock, you know, camera app. You just shame.
Okay, so
just
let's talk about
that.
Put
on the shame.
Take a company like Samsung. They've got crazy deep pockets. When you look at the Galaxy S5, Galaxy S5 and the iPhone 5S had the exact same sensor. Same camera. Samsung is known for their bloatware. They put their own camera app. You're not using the stock camera app that comes from as part of Google Play services. In theory, they should have an awesome camera app, right? An awesome camera experience.
They should, but that camera app was garbage.
It's slow.
Remember the golf mode?
Oh, yeah.
Golf, They had golf mode.
No. Yep.
To analyze your swing.
Because that's what you need.
But the other thing don't forget, too, is Apple uses that, was it like a three-tiered lens design, too?
Yeah. Right.
So it's, you can take that same sensor, it's just like any camera. You could put a crappy kit lens on it or a really nice lens and get two different types of pictures. And it's just, but
good point.
I mean, once again, Apple has always made it where the camera is the main focus of the phone. A lot of their ads and everything are pretty much not look at ROS because it's garbage and it's very basic. I was waiting for Brian's smirk on that one. But look at our camera. It's phenomenal because they always have lower megapixel too than most of the big names, but they produce better, sharper images, and you just can't beat it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Craig, I mean, for video too, the thing is that people get so caught up in megapixels.
Oh, yeah.
And don't realize that 1080 is only 2 megapixels. So what people consider to be like a very high resolution for most everyday stuff, it's only 2 megapixel. So you're trying to cram 22 megapixels into a sensor that's smaller than a penny, yep, and you wonder why it doesn't look great. Whereas the iPhone, they use a lower resolution, like lower megapixels, but that means that the pixels that they have are bigger. Yep. They're going to capture more light. You're going to get better low light performance. And you're going to get truer color out of that too, I think.
I agree.
You're here.
So what Android really needs to do is fix up this camera nonsense, one. Number two, they need to learn how to market to hipsters. Because I think that's why Apple really does so well, is that they market to hipsters. And
you know what? I'm going to disagree with you, Brian. As a fellow iPhone owner, they market to the lazy.
Like I said, hipsters.
Wow.
Sukaro!
No. They would listen. I've had Android. I've had iPhone, and you know, a Nexus 5. It can take a very amazing picture. It can. Now, it takes a lot of work, a lot of trial and error, and you probably have to throw away 15 shots to find the perfect one.
Sure. I mean, you need bright sunlight.
But you can pull out an iPhone and just hit the button and have a damn good shot.
Yep.
Because it's for the lazy. And, you know, if you are into photography, you're probably not buying an iPhone for its camera. You're buying an iPhone to do your words with friends and check your email and Skype. You're actually pulling out your DSLR and taking a shot if you're into photography.
All right, sidetrack, because you said words with friends. Craig, you need to start playing Trivia Crack.
Okay.
Dude, Brian, I sent like it over to you a day ago and you haven't even responded.
I played you today.
I need to check my phone then.
Yeah, you do.
Hey, and really quick though, to switch back to the whole thing, because I don't want to forget about this point, is it was either the iPhone 4 or the 4S. There was a film producer in South Korea, I believe, and he filmed his entire movie with nothing but iPhones.
Yeah. I heard about that. Are you sure it was the 4? I thought it was the 5.
No, maybe they've done it again with the 5, but okay. Get that out of here. I mean, it's been a couple of years, maybe 2-3
Craig,
years.
Craig, you need to get on that, seriously.
What's up?
Yes.
You need to get on this, and I will like send it to you too.
They used some iPhone footage in Avengers also.
That's crazy talk. You know, speaking of movies, what was the last Marvel movie you watched, guys?
Well, probably Guardians.
I watched Iron Man 3 today.
I watched Iron Man 3. What's today? Thursday. I watched it Tuesday night.
How'd you feel about it?
That was the first time I had seen it.
Yeah, how'd you feel about it?
I'm a little confused by the ending. So what, he doesn't have a big magnet in his chest anymore?
Nope.
So
he got rid of it.
Wasn't that the arc reactor and the magnet powering the suits?
No, not anymore.
The one he was wearing initially, but then you saw he had all those other suits and they were just flying around willy-nilly with their own arc reactors.
The suits that he was running later had their own arc reactors, I believe, in them. Separate.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
All right.
So I got to say, out of all the movies, I thought that one was the weakest. Nice. Make it happen. link it up to your Facebook and we'll play Trivia Crack.
Which, by the way, Jim, one of these days I got to send you some pictures of my full-scale War Machine suit that I'm building.
Yeah.
I'm excited. When's that going to
be done?
What's that, Ryan?
When's that going to be done?
When I get back on the treadmill, because War Machine doesn't have a beer gut.
That's true.
Pretty much the midsection is the only thing I have to build. The rest of it's all filler stuff, so...
You look like John Candy in Spaceballs.
Really? Because you know what I was thinking? I was thinking I was going to have to build a Big Hero 6 costume instead.
Wow. Just paint it red instead of red, white, and blue. Just, it'll be great. It'll be great.
Yeah, before this call's over, I got to go get a few things to show Jim. So,
cool.
Right on.
All right. I think I'm done with the modular phone. Jim, what do you got for us?
Wow. Oh, yeah. Okay. So Microsoft, they put out updates to Office apps for both the iPhone and iPad. So Excel, PowerPoint, and Word. Changes to this was to allow VoiceOver for reading and editing, which while I was reading this article, I was really kind of, in full disclosure, I don't want to talk about that, the aspect of VoiceOver editing. What I really want to talk about is, what do you use for productivity apps? I mean, Google Apps is pretty nice. You've got Microsoft Office. If you're into open source, you've got LibreOffice. You've got Apple with their iWork. What do you guys like? What do you use for work? What do you use for personal?
So you're not talking about mobile in general. You're talking about just general productivity.
Well, yes and no. I mean, tell me everything. If you have, for example, my wife and I have a ledger. We share it. It's shared within Google Docs, and I access it on my phone as well as in the web browser.
Okay.
But that's just me. What, Craig, what do you use for business, and what do you use in your home life for productivity apps? Sweets.
Yeah, see, and that's where I'm kind of such a mutt when it comes to that. You know, it's the Microsoft Office Suite 2013 for work.
Okay.
I have the built-in iWork suite for my Mac because I don't like to use Windows computers when I'm at home.
Yeah.
And then I have this, let me figure it out. When it comes to my phone, I have an Office suite. And why I'm drawing a blank as to what the name of this thing is.
Polaris?
No, it's the same one we both used, right? The Android one?
Hang on a second here. Unfortunately, I have like the default one that was installed on here, and I cannot stand it. And, jeez, maybe that was it. They had a mobile Office at one point.
Do you ever use the mobile version?
Me, I do, but it's not as often as you'd think. Like, I like to do it for vacation stuff.
Okay.
Go to Disney, you get the meal plan. It's nice to have an Excel spreadsheet with some basic calculations in there.
Totally.
You know, keep track of what's going on with all that. Even though they give you the receipt with what's there, I like to plan this stuff out to make sure we don't run out of meals.
We're speaking the same language.
And it's called like Hancom Office 2014. So okay. It was one of those where it was like I think this was an expensive one, where at the time it was like $15 to buy.
But hey, for good software, I'll pay $10-$15.
Exactly. And this is one of those where I tried it before I bought it and loved it. And it actually will place some of the heavier calculation sheets that I have out there for my checkbook and everything, because I do everything in Excel for that. Sure. It seems to run them just fine with no problem and not worry about any like lookups or anything like that. So, but yeah, like I said, I'm just kind of a mutt with whatever fits my lifestyle for that day, I guess.
Now, Brian, before we bounce over to you, yes. Craig, where do you store these spreadsheets, Word docs, PowerPoint? Where do you save them? Are you Google Docs? Are you, Google Drive? Are you Dropbox? Are you Box.net? What do you, Dropbox. Where do you save it so you can get it?
Dropbox seems to be the easiest for me just because with the Google Docs, you still got to log into Google, go find that. Yeah. Whereas I've got the Dropbox folder linked on my, all of my computers.
Okay.
So that way I can easily get in and access them across anything I'm using, whether it's my phone, my laptop, whatever.
Good deal. All right. And even you don't have any issues with saving back to Google or Dropbox when you're on the mobile?
No. Nice. In fact, I've even got a Dropbox set up on my Raspberry Pi with my XBMC. So,
okay, Brian, same deal over to you. What do you use for work?
All right, so at work, I was using Office 2013.
Okay.
Until I was at the one job, went to the other job, and then them paying for that lapsed. So now I'm back to using Office 2010, and it's sad. Office 2010 is like the redheaded. I'd rather use Office XP.
Did they give you a chisel and some stone tablets to use with it too?
Right. I'm seriously. We get a discount if we want. You know, it's that thing where you can buy Office for like $12. I'm seriously thinking about buying 2014 just so I can use it on my computer at work.
Office 2003 is where it's at.
I'm gonna punch you through this thing.
That's what my daughter My daughter is running my old 2013 license on her laptop, and that's about it.
Okay, so what do you use for home?
So on my computer at home, I have nothing. And let me tell you why.
I'm here. Because I'm all ears.
I don't want to do any of that when I'm at home. I have my TV spreadsheet, which I actually just keep in Google Docs because that's where I made it like 4 years ago or 3 years ago, and I leave it there. And then when we do our templates for our podcast, that's also Google Docs just for our shareability. On my phone, on my iPad, really, I have Pages, which I use for like mobile writing.
Yeah.
Just cause I like that. But mostly I just use the Google Docs when I'm mobile.
Why is it that, we would use Google Docs for shareability? What's wrong with the Microsoft solution?
SharePoint?
There you go.
That's the end of that story.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really just, I mean, at home, I don't usually have much use for office-y type stuff. I try and stay out of it. And if I do, I just use the Google Docs. I do use Dropbox for most of my other stuff. I have the membership for Dropbox. I have like a terabyte, I think,
of
drive space. So all of the video and music projects that I work on, all that stuff goes on Dropbox.
Okay.
But that's about it. I have in the past used OpenOffice.
Yeah.
And I mean, I like OpenOffice as an idea, but in practice, it's a little bit janky.
You know,
in my mind.
The formatting I find with OpenOffice.
Yeah.
It lacks a little bit. Every time I open up a document in OpenOffice and I output it, when I go to open it up in Office, Microsoft Office,
yes,
the formatting is all messed up, or vice versa. Somebody sent me a PowerPoint presentation and I open it up in LibreOffice or OpenOffice and it's all messed up.
Yeah, it seemed to me like it worked better before they updated to like the DocX, XLSX, before they changed their formats. And I'm not sure exactly why that is, because I mean, it's pretty much just an XML file. So it should, in my mind, it should be fairly simple for them to do a standardized, you know, export. But I stopped, I had installed OpenOffice for Jenny like 4 or 5 years ago, and she hated it. So then I ended up just buying a copy of Office for her.
I gotcha. Well,
all right, Jim.
Let's see. So for work, I have an Office 365 subscription, and I hate it. Like, just in full disclosure, I hate it. So I have a Mac, I have a PC, I have a lot of stuff. When you look at the Mac and you look at the components that are installed for Office, it's like 35 different apps, mini apps that are all running every time you open up any component of Office. So I have an Office 365 subscription. For home, I use Google Apps. It is great. It's available everywhere. And for the files that I'm working on that I can't open up in Google Apps, I use Dropbox for storage, and it's great. I recently had hard drive errors on my MacBook Air, and I had to do a clean install and restore from Time Machine.
No good.
Yeah. I actually uninstalled Office prior to... Well, okay, so before I get there, my computer was running fine, but Onyx, the software utility, was like, hey, there's an error on your hard drive. And I was like, what? So I ran it on the scan, and indeed, there were hard drive errors. And Disk Utility said the same thing, and booting off of a Mavericks thumb drive and running Disk Utility was not able to repair it. So the only way to fix it was to wipe the hard drive and clean install. So anyhow, but I was not experiencing any errors other than Onyx saying, hey, bro, check this out. I would not have known. I uninstalled Office prior to the clean install, and this was maybe 3-4 months ago. And when I reinstalled, I did not put Office back on it. I've been using Pages. Oh, incidentally, I love Pages. I love it on the MacBook. It's great.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I love writing in Pages. I love it's distraction-free writing, as good as it gets. I like Numbers, but I don't like using it on a mobile device, iPad, iPhone.
Yeah.
Because when I go to open up something that I have grabbed from Dropbox, I can open it up in Pages, but I can't export it back out to Pages, which is really stupid. So, Craig Federighi, if you're listening, come on, bro. Save to Dropbox.
Hey, come on, bro.
I know you're one of the 79 people that listen to this podcast. I'm just saying. So.
He's on it.
So that said, I really, really enjoy Google Apps because it's available everywhere and you can use it on anything. And I want to say right around iPhone 5S timeframe, the version that came out on iOS, it's pretty darn good, especially for the spreadsheets. I mean, I have no trouble running My Ledger or like, so I created a spreadsheet for my sitter, you know, that says, here's your hourly pay, here's your breaks, here's your start time, end time, taxes, blah, blah, blah. Works great. And it's a web browser. Anyhow.
That's nice.
Yeah. So.
Well, you talked me into it. I just installed Pages. I'm going to check it out.
It's good. It's, you know what, on the laptop, it's great.
That's what I'm putting it on my Air. I'm going to check it out. I liked the older version on the iPad, even though typing on the iPad isn't the greatest. But of the solutions at the time for iPad, it was the best around. So
I will say this. Pages, or iWork 09, was fantastic. I mean, it was full-featured. Then they decided, you know what, we're going to make this one software package that was compatible with iPad and iOS, or I'm sorry, an iPhone. And they stripped out all this functionality and then did a rewrite and have very slowly been putting stuff back in. So only very recently has Pages become something that I'm really okay with. And my biggest complaint with writing in a word processor is when you go into Word, there's a million options. And there's this ribbon that is almost unintelligible. I just want to write. And I want to drag a picture into it and have the text flow around it. And Pages does that.
Right on.
Yeah. I'm trying to simplify my life. Bill, what are you doing? You're making it complex.
He doesn't have anything to do with that anymore.
Fine, Steve.
He's off. He's philandering.
He's shooting hoops. Satya Nadella. You got my Skype. Come on, talk to me. You guys own Skype, right? You know who I am.
Speaking of which, we should take this moment to invite the NSA to the conversation.
Welcome.
Because, you know, it's been a good week. They should take a listen.
Well, all I'm right, sure Craig. They were already.
That's what I'm saying. They were monitoring.
We're working our way up to number one.
They wanted to see what we were talking about.
Yeah, we're working our way up to number one on their list.
Right. One of us. One of us.
Speaking of NSA, did you guys see Citizen 4?
No.
Nope, just Citizen Kane.
So, Citizen Four, if you're not aware, for those listening, it's a film. It stars Edward Snowden. Check it out. Go to IMDb, check out the trailer, and watch the video. Movie. Yeah.
Is it available online? Can I just leak it?
No, I think it's actually coming out soon.
It was a joke because it's Snowden. I'm like, can I just leak it online?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, funny. Oh, all right, Craig, regale us. Enthrall us with your tales.
It came out November 6th, 2014.
All right.
Anyhow.
All right. One of the things that I never get enough to talk about because there's nobody around my office to have an intelligent conversation about this, and seeing as they made an announcement today, it's talking about glass holes. So Google announcing that they're ending their Explorer program as of Monday, and as a consumer, you can no longer buy the current glasses.
So is there a follow-up?
They said they're going... Basically, they're keeping everything intact. I believe you can still get them as a developer, but the consumer, just go online and buy them at any time without an invite, is supposed to disappear as of Monday. So, of course, you know, they're researching things. There's all the rumors out there that they're going to do a contact lens, you know, things like that, which I just find amazing. They can't make these glasses any smaller on your face, but they're going to put them on a contact lens now. But there's a lot of fun stuff surrounding, you know, these where, you know, A, was the camera the thing that killed the Google Glasses? Because, yeah, if you're just minding your own business, that's not a big deal. But if somebody thinks you're filming them now or you're filming in a movie theater, you know, those good old bootlegs, you know how many people are walking around with Google Glasses probably filming them? But
okay, first of all, you get like 45 minutes of video battery life.
Well, no, that's just it. But when you have eight people and the camera angle changes, you know?
Yeah. And like camera one, camera
exactly.
two. Camera one, camera two. Don't choke.
But you know what? The funny thing is I was always such a big fan of these and wanted to try them. Only ever saw them in person a couple times. And I heard a lot of people having the cross-eyed effect. Because really? What would happen...
Oh, you have to look up.
When you're look, but it's even just that is when you're looking, your left eye, if it's on your right eye, your left eye is looking at nothing. But your left eye is... you know, straining to focus still. And it would give you that cross-eyed kind of feel. And so, you know, there's just little things where it just didn't seem like the most comfortable thing over time. But Google, in my opinion, is taking a page out of Apple's book where everybody who knows my opinion of Apple, I just feel like they're bullies. You know, they'll make it and you just buy it. They don't care if you like it or not. They just know you'll buy it. Google is threatening that if you try to sell your Google Glasses or loan them out to somebody, they're going to brick them.
I heard that.
$1,500 set of glasses that you don't even get to choose how you're going to be able to use them and show them off without
risking that. That's garbage.
That was part of the EULA when you bought it, though.
And that's the thing is they said it's always been in place, but it's not heavily enforced. But now that the program is going to be ending – people are going to be more inclined to sell these for a higher price, and it keeps people from selling for $2,000-$3,000 online. But you know, at the end of the day, I mean, we have what's going on with them, and they're going to stop the consumer sales. But the main thing I also want to talk about is just, are they even relevant? You know, is it any better than just pulling your phone out of your pocket? Because I can't tell you how many times, even looking at my watch screen. It takes more attention to focus on that tiny screen, and I completely disengage from what's behind me or you know, on the other side trying to walk or, you know, even when you're sitting at a stoplight, I don't see the light change when I'm trying to stare at that tiny screen versus when you've got a phone, you could still pay attention to what's going on in the background.
Sure.
I put some thought into this actually a little while ago, and I read an article where there was a surgery center somewhere in the country that was having the surgeons use these. And it was almost like, I'm forgetting the term. Anyhow, they were able to superimpose facts about the surgery at hand over what the surgeon was doing with her hands because he was wearing Google Glass. So whether it was x-rays or text information about the patient on the table, something like that where...
Or porn.
Okay, so he was obviously distracted.
That's what it was.
But
it, like, before you take out that appendix, take a look at these titties.
Yeah.
So
there was a dick pic on his screen.
Where the hands are gloved and it's a sterile environment, and to be able to have this, you know, live feed of information coming in. Aside from that, I can't think of a single practical reason to use Google Glass instead of another device, whether that's a Pebble, and I just got a text message and I do a quick look on my wrist to see, oh, it's from my wife. She's on her way home. Okay. That's cool. I don't have to pull up my phone. Or, oh, look, it's another email from Food Network. Okay, delete. So,
well, the thing too is, I mean, I've met several people that have Google Glass, and I have not yet seen someone that can pull off using it without looking like a douche. And I like the idea of Google Glass, but you just see it in practice and you're like, they need to do something with it. There was there's a show that's on Netflix. It's called Black Mirror. Have you guys seen it?
No.
It's great. It's like a British
TV.
It's like a British Twilight Zone, right?
I thought it was the Twilight Zone over there. It's
no.
It's the UK. Come on.
But the last episode of season one, people had this thing called a Pebble, which was like a chip that was implanted in there. What are you snapping about?
Sorry.
Dog?
He's getting into it.
And it recorded everything that they saw and heard from their perspective, and then they could like go back and they could do what they call a redo, where they could play it over and they could just see it in their eye. So their eyes would kind of like glaze over with like a fog, and they would be watching the redo, or they could throw it on a screen and show other people. So they could like have an experience and then show their friends, oh, this is what happened. And then of course things went horribly wrong, but that kind of technology, when we get into the contact lens era where we can use those for stuff like this, I think would be very cool.
Did you guys ever see Moon Boy?
I haven't watched it yet. M-O-O-N-E, it keeps popping up.
M-O-O-N-E, boy. It's got Chris O'Dowd from IT Crowd. Okay, Craig, IT Crowd?
Okay.
Did you see IT Crowd?
Nope. Never heard of it.
Brian, IT Crowd?
Yeah, I watched it. It's good.
Okay, Craig.
Chris O'Dowd is
Netflix,
hilarious.
Just go check it out. It's got to be on Netflix. If it's not, are you on Plex?
Oh, yeah.
He is.
Okay. It's on Brian's Plex, I think. If it's not, it's on mine.
So.
Wait, have I given you my now. Plex?
You got to do it. Got to share it to the Craig.
Okay. I will send it to the Wolf one or the Craig one.
Yeah, the CD.
Okay. Now, see, you just gave out your email. I was trying to be, like, all slick about it.
Covert.
Brian, you beep that out.
I don't want all three to do it.
I don't want all three of you listeners emailing me at my Hotmail account.
Okay.
Dude, Hotmail's for old people and immigrants.
he uses Office, Microsoft Office.
So do I at work.
Yeah, but dude, fuck SharePoint.
Right? Dude, we talk about the travesty that is Microsoft Project.
Ooh.
It's like the worst software known to man.
Yeah.
Let's shut it down.
So, all right. Well, let's wrap this up. Anybody got anything else to say before we conclude recording?
I got nothing. I'll probably just cut all this out. So
yeah,
you know I won't.
Brian, cut something.
I cut stuff occasionally. I cut a few things out of the last episode.
Okay, so wait a joke is you got to bleep at least my email address to be funny about it, but just don't.
I did that in the other one. You guys didn't listen to it.
Yeah, I stopped listening to it, so I was not padding the numbers.
What did you bleep?
Yeah, two episodes back when I said your point, I put in the sound from Scott Pilgrim when the girl's always swearing at Scott, and it's like that. It's awesome.
See, all I think of is Jay and Silent Bob, where when she's trying to read back what he wrote to them, she's like, expletive deleted, and then he'll eat the expletive deleted.
I love Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
It's great.
Great movie.
Supposedly, the guy who did that movie might be doing Ready Player One. It might be that guy, and I also heard that it might be Christopher Nolan.
Okay, any news on whether or not Will Wheaton is going to read the sequel to Ready Player One?
If he doesn't, I'm going to go find him, and I'm going to just give him the book and make him read it to me.
Okay, fair IRL. Enough.
You guys I'm should be connected that. In your beard... your beard wax.
That's what I'm saying. I'm gonna go up to. I'm gonna be. Like, I'm gonna go and I'm like, hey, I also use the Bearded Bastard products. Speaking of which, he favorited my tweet. The guy from the Bearded Bastard
and give him some beer because he is.
Yeah,
he
loves beer. I'll find some really good beer. I'll bring it to him. I'll be like Mr. Wheaton. I'll call him that because it'll make him feel good. And I'll be like, hey, read me a story.
Man, I hope he does. I got to tell you, that was the only reason I bought that book.
Yeah, I do. It's so good. Did you ever listen to that one, Craig?
What's that?
Ready Player One.
No. Ernest Cline.
I gave it to you.
Yes, and it was so hard to listen to.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. He
Bad
was
Craig.
Terrible.
Bad no. Craig. Go no. listen to it now. You are grounded.
I'm even trying to think of somebody funny who I would rather listen to Gilbert Gottfried read that.
Oh,
speaking of which,
my God.
Oh, you sent it to me. I don't think Jim saw it. Did you see Gilbert Gottfried reading excerpts from 50 Shades of Grey?
I sent that to you, Brian.
But
yeah, I know.
That was Leonardo DiCaprio as a retard, right?
No. Gilbert Gottfried.
Oh, Gilbert Gottfried. I was thinking of Gilbert Grape.
Oh, yeah, no. That movie, I'm telling you what, that was the first thing I ever saw him in, and I thought for sure that he was a retard.
I totally.
It's truth. Where are you going, Gilbert? You're not going anywhere.
Okay, that beard is
not
crazy.
Going anywhere, Gilbert.
Yeah, Brian's not laughing. Brian's laughing at one thing, and you're laughing at the other.
Yeah, gym. You're laughing at the. Did you look at the beard?
That's
finally?
What you're going to look like soon, Brian.
That beard is crazy.
Let me look. I didn't see this.
That's what I picture you looking like, Brian.
Okay.
Instant message.
Brian, you need to become a starfish.
Whoa! That's fantastic. There's something wrong with this dude. And it's not so much that he's got the starfish going on, but that's something. But you notice he has like the lollipop gill.
Oh, yeah.
Mustache as well.
But look at this really quick. This one just baffles me right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, those in our our audio offense, I will send you some links in the show notes if you check them out. Brian, are you posting the show link, the show notes?
I didn't know I was supposed to.
Dude.
I usually just type a synopsis. You would know if you ever looked at the website. I mean, I'm just saying.
Them's fighting.
Okay, that's kind of a burn, but I'm not going to take it that way. Brian, you need to post the show notes. Just copy and paste the show notes into the 1 foot over.
All right, I'll be right back, guys. Hang on 1 second.
All right.
I'll do it from now on.
Because I'm actually taking the time to like put these notes in.
I didn't realize that's what you were doing. Yeah. And now that I know, I'll make it happen. Just for you, bro.
Good looking out.
Yeah. Dude, I have the worst scab on my, like right on my shin bone.
Yeah.
Because the other day when I was in the garage, I full on wailed myself in the shin with a hammer.
Wow.
It did not feel good.
I don't know that I would want to hit myself in the shin with a hammer.
I didn't do it on purpose.
It sounds like he did. You self-deprecating bastard.
All right. Well, that was Changelog for this week. I'm Brian.
I'm Jim.
And I'm Craig.
Have a great week, guys.
Take care, everybody.